anchor holds. We've gone through some storms. There's more storms coming. There's something that keeps us anchored, keeps us here, keeps us going on. Sharing our own abilities and our own strength, because if you ever tried to depend on that, you know that didn't last very long at all. Amen. We see so many people that get so discouraged around the message because they've learned to depend on their own ability to understand and to think this through and to be holy. And then when it doesn't work out, you see them finally kind of giving up and say, well, the message wasn't right or something didn't work out. And they're floating off here because their intellect couldn't make it work or their ability to live holy wasn't enough. And they get discouraged and say, there's nothing to it. But sister, we need to get way past that. We need to get way past that, get to the point where we just know it's completely the grace of God. The grace of God. And when you get to that point, you start sort of, kind of, a little bit understanding God's love. Oh my, how he loves us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful we could come here tonight, Lord, and gather with these believers, Lord. It's just so good to see everyone who could come out tonight and just enjoying the wonderful day, the weather you gave us, Lord, and the promise of another spring just around the corner. And it's just a wonderful time of the year, Lord. And yet we look around and we see the world has literally gone insane. Lord, people are just amazing. The things they do and say and believe and find an excuse for whatever they want is because everyone's running in fear, Lord. But Lord Jesus, we can stand here tonight without fear. We can stand here tonight in your presence and knowing, Lord, that though our ship, as it were, is being buffeted and we go through struggles and trials and tensions and all this stuff that goes with being a Christian, yet there's something so solid, so sure within, Lord Jesus. And that's the thing that's going to take us out of here one of these days, Lord. And we just want to keep walking in that direction. Help us tonight, Lord. Just bless the word. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint each person to hear what you have to say, Lord. And just have your own way tonight. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes, we're going to read out of the fourth chapter. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. And we're going to start at verse 7. Ecclesiastes 4:7. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet there is no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And just let me read another scripture real quick. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. You may be seated. Tonight, Lord willing, I want to start on a different subject. And I don't know, I think it's going to be at least three messages long. I don't know if it'll be longer. It might be two. I don't know. But it's been on my heart for a long time, and God just seemed to put on my heart to start. And so we'll see how it goes. Tonight, it's probably going to be a short service. I just want to lay a real basic foundation so that it's going to make more sense the next couple services. We all have the same, we all know what I'm talking about when I use the terminology and things that I think I'll be using. And I'm going to call this a threefold purpose. A threefold purpose. And like I said, we'll just lay a little foundation tonight, and there's not going to be any jumping or shouting, I'm sure. It's just kind of, unless God wants to just jump and shout, we'll see. but it's just to kind of lay a foundation so we all know we're on the same page, as it were, all right? First thing about the scripture we read, if you go back there, in verse 8 it says, there is one alone, there is not a second, yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end to his labor, neither is I satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor, bereave my soul of good? This is a vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. What this person is saying, the purpose of this person's life has no purpose to it. There's no real meaning. He said, why are you gathering these riches together? Why are you doing this? You're getting all this, you're accumulating, but you're just going to lay it down and die. Someone else, later he says, someone else is going to get that, what they didn't work for. So we want to think about a couple of things tonight, a threefold purpose. There has to be a purpose for what we do, for what God does. We want to find the purpose behind something, amen? And then we also want to look at this threefold, we call it a threefold purpose, we want to look at a threefold cord. It said it's not quickly broken. Now, if one person is doing whatever by themselves, two is stronger than one, right? You add a third one, it becomes stronger. Now, it just happens to be, I have a threefold cord tonight. All right, so we want to look at this. Would you come up here and help me, Will? Told you I'm preaching. Now, here's three cords, right? This is very simple stuff. You don't care about that. Let's say this one cord can hold 100 pounds. Take another cord and you can wrap these together, and now it's going to hold a lot more than 100 pounds. Right? It's stronger. Take the third cord and wrap it together, and all of a sudden you have a very strong cord. This is the whole thing it's talking about. Three cords together is not too good. So we think about three cords, right? Strength. Now let's say you go down to Walmart. And you go up to the sale, and he has all these spools of rope, right? He says, we'll call it rope, it's the same thing. You say, I need to buy some rope. He says, what do you want it for? You say, I want to tie up my boat, right? He says, well, I think this would do it. He said, now that was pretty thin. I'm not sure that was going to hold my boat. He said, well, why don't we give you this? I still don't think that's enough. Well, why don't we give you this? Easy to look at that with three cords. Okay, I think that's going to be strong enough, right? This is going to fulfill my purpose. But now let's say you go down to Walmart and you tell the guy, I need to buy some rope. And he says, what do you want it for? Oh, I don't know. Well, what are you going to do with it? Throw it in a drawer. Well, what's the purpose? I don't have one. I just want rope. He said, well, are you going to use it like for emergencies? Nope. You have it around just handy in case you need it? No, I got plenty of rope. Then why are you buying the rope? I just want rope. There's no purpose to it. It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Keep that in mind. We'll get back to that. We want to find a purpose. All right? Now, let's go listen to what Brother Branham said. In the seventh seal, he says this. I want you to notice tonight. I'm sorry. I want you to notice tonight that in the sixth seal, there was a threefold purpose of the sixth seal. All right? She said, now there's a threefold purpose in the sixth seal. Let's go back and read another. Brother Branham said this, and you know it. He says, if you notice the Bible, mathematically speaking, three is God's perfected number. God is perfected in three. All right? God is perfected in three. It's his perfect number. He talks about threes and sevens and twelves and forties and fifties, a different numerology that God uses. But God is perfected in threes. All right, so keep this in mind. Now he says, back in the seventh seal, he says, there was a threefold purpose of the horse riders. There's been a threefold purpose in all these things. That brings us back to a three and a seven again. Seven seals, seven vials, and so forth. Now, in threes and sevens is God's number in his mathematics of revealing his word. You notice, like the riders, there was three horses went out. Wait a minute. There's four horses. Then why is he saying there's three? How can it be three and then he says four? I mean, he says it's four, but he says three. Maybe the prophet couldn't count. Maybe he's making a mistake. Let me read another, something else he said. I'm sorry, I can't find what I was looking for. Let me go back over here. I'll get to it. He said, now you notice like in the riders, there's three riders went out. One of them was white, one was red, one was black. And then in the fourth horse, why all of them was mixed together, see, a threefold purpose. This is the key to the whole thing. There's a threefold. Here's a white horse rider. Here's a black red horse rider. Here's a black horse rider. All wrapped together, right? All in the pale horse rider. The purpose behind the threefold, the three riders, was to get to the pale horse. Because when he got off the white horse and got on the red horse, the white horse didn't just wander off and by himself and go graze in the pasture. He took all the power of the white horse with him. And when he got off the red horse and got on the black horse, he took the power of that, the white and red horse, with him into the black horse. And when he had them all together, then he rides the pale horse, which was death. And you add the deception of the white horse, the sword, the power of the red horse, and the economic power of the black horse all together, and you have death. Look at what he said over here in the Church Aid book. He said, "O little flock, do not fear. This age is fast closing. And as it does, those tares will be bound together. And as a threefold cord is not easily broken, they will have a tremendous threefold strength." Now listen, he's talking about what's binding the tares together. A threefold cord is binding the tares, and it'll have a threefold strength of political, physical, and spiritual, which he says is satanical power. So it's political, physical, and spiritual power. There's three. "And they will seek to destroy the bride. She will suffer, but she will endure." So these tares bound together with these threefold purpose, I mean, the threefold cord of spiritual, political, and satanic power. The purpose behind it. Satan doesn't get these together just to say, "Look at all my power. I got all this power. Look at this. I have," let me get this right. "I have this political power." Does he have political power? Does he have physical power? Does he have spiritual power? He's got it all, but he don't just sit back and crow and see, "Look at my power. Look what I got." So many message believers and Christians, they want to sit back and say, "I got power. Look at the power I got. I can pray for your healing. I can preach. I can raise it up. I got all this power." Well, what's the purpose behind it? It's being used to deceive. And Satan doesn't get all this power. He's been working hard over the last several thousand years to accumulate all this power. Why? Because he wants to destroy you. What does it say? He said, "They will seek to destroy the bride of Christ, and she will suffer, but she will endure." How is he doing it? Is he coming in, chopping your door down and taking you to prison? Not here for us right now. Does he have a spiritual power against us? Tell me you don't fight some spiritual battles. And we see the economy, where it's going, the politics and all these kind of stuff. Brother and sister, the physical power coming against us, brother and sister, he has a purpose for getting this power. And he knows, because he copies everything God does, he knows if he can get three cords wrapped together, it's not easily broken. He has so much, he gained so much power because he knows, just because God, he watches the way God does things, he says he can mix these together, he's got a lot of power. It says not easily broken or not quickly broken. It don't say it can't be broken. Because brother and sister, our power is greater than his power. Amen? Look at this. We have justification, sanctification, baptism. Let me read this. This is what Brother Branham said. You know this. He said, justification, let me start earlier. The life that was in the stalk and in the tassel, in the husk, there's your three, right? all gather in this seed. Now you got four. Why? Because the purpose for all these coming up was to get to the seed. The life that was in the stalk, one went to make the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself. You got four again, right? Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. God is perfected in threes. What's the perfection? The Holy Ghost himself. But you can't take any of them out. And yet we see so many people, they're trying to get to heaven, just one or two cords, or even three. Look at this. Justification, right? Message believer. Now, I'm not talking about bride justification. I'm talking about Luther's justification. And the message believers are this. I know God called me. I know he called me to this church. I believe God sent a prophet. I believe the message is true. He's justified. And he said, I'm getting to heaven like that. I'm going to the rapture with that. I'm sorry. Your string's going to break. Next person comes along and says, oh, I'm further along than that. God sent a prophet, and I'm living a holy life. I believe what the prophet said. I believe everything the prophet said, and I'm doing a really good job. Look at me. I go to church. I pay my tithe. I know when to sing. I know when to shout. I know when how to pray. I know all these things. I got it down. I'm ready to go in the rapture. That string's going to break. Now, third person comes along. He's got all those first two, because you don't give up your justification. You don't give up your sanctification. That keeps coming with it, right? And they tie it all together. They said, and I've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look at the power in my life. I know I had the baptism. It fell on me. I felt it at the altar. I jumped. I shouted. I screamed. I know I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he did. And yet, he's sitting in a message church. All this stuff, a threefold cord, it's not quickly broken. It's very strong. And yet, if they don't know the purpose for this, they're still going to miss it. If you don't recognize the purpose behind it, why did the message come? Why did God bring it to bind you together like this? There's a purpose. And that purpose is to fulfill the word for your day. Not just to sit there and say, look what a great message believer I am. I believe the prophet. You're like this person. He's toiling. He's accumulating all this goods. He's accumulating all these riches. Until like the rich young ruler, he says, you know what? I got so much stuff. I got so much stuff. I need to get more stuff. I need a bigger bank account. He's missing the whole point. But he can look at his life and say, look how strong I am. And he's right. That's the deception, brother and sister. I see God working in my life, and he's right. God delivered me from this, and he's right. But what's the purpose for God getting you here? For the Holy Ghost itself. The Holy Ghost itself. Jesus Christ living through you. The word for this day. He said, God is perfected in threes. The Godhead is perfected in three. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now what are you going to do with that? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? Now, some people say, see, I prove that's three gods. There's your three strings, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know better than that. It's all one God manifesting through three different attributes. And when you put them all together, you have the Godhead, not Godheads. The Godhead. Why does he do it that way then? Why does he do it? Because he wants us to see. He wants to reveal. He wants to manifest to humanity all his attributes so we can understand him. And the best way for us to understand him is if he says, look, I'm the Father, I'm the Son, I'm the Holy Ghost, and these are my attributes, and this is me working myself out. It's all about us, folks. He's trying to manifest himself, to reveal himself to us, if we will just put our ideas out of the way. He said, you yourself are protected, perfected in three, soul, body, and spirit. Is that right? There's in my body, I have a spirit, and inside of that is a soul. Now, if you take one of these three away, I'm not whole anymore, right? But you put them all together, and it got you. Pretty simple stuff, right? He says, same with the new birth. Spirit, water, and blood, they make up the new birth. You put all those together, and you have the new creature, a new nature. He gives more examples. The three stars that came together made the morning star reflected on the coming infant Christ, a perfect one. It's always about, there's a purpose behind it, brother and sister. And when God does something, and when you see this strength coming together, or how he's doing his perfection, there's always a purpose behind it. We need to find the purpose to know what God is doing, and we need to find it today. Let's go back to the sixth seal. One more thing. He talked when the horse riders went out. He said, in the fourth horse, why they all mixed together. See, a threefold purpose. He said, God did the same thing. God did the thing when he sent out his lion, which was his word to combat the Antichrist. Then he sent out the ox during the tribulation period, the sacrificial animal in this tribulation period that all the people could do was just work, slave, and offer themselves for a sacrifice. We went down to the next age, which was the reformer's age. God sent out the wisdom of a man-like head on the beast, which was a power that went forth in the reformers. He said, no wonder the people of those days, still living in the hangover like it was from the reformers' age, because they just see it in the ecclesiastical way of looking at it. They see it in the way that the seminaries has taught it. That was God's way at one time, but we've lived past that. So he said, it's no wonder people are still looking towards education and the way to figure it out, because that's the hangover from the last age. It is very powerful, and God used to use that. And that's why so many message churches are just great, nice, big seminaries, and we're just teaching the people what the prophet said and how to put quotes together and how to figure things out, because we're still living in the hangover from that age instead of going on into the eagle age. And it's all three of them together. Because what was in the lion came down to the oxen and to the man, and it's very strong, and you can be a really good message believer. And you can know all about the message, and you can live a holy life, and people can't put a finger on you. Now let me say something right now. What I'm saying tonight, you could walk out of here and say, well, I never saw that before, or maybe you did, it don't matter. You say, that's really neat, Brother Phil. I could care less if you could understand that part of it. It ain't about an education. This ain't about teaching you some new doctrine or something that you've never seen before. If that's all you get out of tonight, you have wasted your time. Because just to walk out here with some knowledge about, oh, I understand now about the threefold purpose. Whoop-de-doo. That's why you need to come the next couple services to find out what this is all about. Because it's not about just teaching something, a new doctrine, a new ideal, or something, I never saw that before. That's really good. Brother, sister, I was there. Most of us probably were there sometime in the past. But hopefully we're past that by now. You can walk out of here, Brother Phil, I couldn't understand a thing you said, but I heard the voice of God speaking. I couldn't explain it back to you, but I know God spoke to me. Now, he might have spoke to you something I'm not even talking about. But as long as God spoke, who cares what it was? All right. The whole thing is, I'm not here to educate you. All right. But you do need to have the word planted in your heart so God can make it work. He said, now we're into the age of the eagle, the revelation to be revealed, the whole thing. So he said, you had the lion, you had the ox, you had the man, but now we're in the eagle age, which is revealing the whole thing. The purpose of it was to get everyone to the eagle age. The purpose. All the power that was conglomerated in those three are here now. Brother, sister, you have the anointing of the lion, the ox, and the man. But it's come up a step higher because it's part of the eagle now. the prophetic. Now compare this with Revelation, the 10th chapter, verse 1 to 7. We'll see here in the Revelations, in the days of the voice of the sounding of the seventh angel is to finish up the mysteries of God. We find out also that in the sixth seal now being opened, it was a threefold purpose. Now here was the purposes. So let's look at the sixth seal. Remember the sixth seal? It's a tribulation seal, right? All the horrible things are happening on earth. He said, first, the first thing was that the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation period for purification. She had to be purged of her sins, of unbelief, and rejecting the message. This was the first cord, the first purpose of the sixth seal, to purge the tribulation saints, the foolish virgins, sleeping virgins he said, all right? We see they wind up over here in Revelation 7 between the 6th and 7th chapter. She had been purged and she'd been given her robes. Now she's not the bride, but it's the church. They're pure people that didn't have the opportunity maybe to receive the message. There's a lot of them around. Or in some way that they were blinded by these false prophets and they didn't get a chance. And yet they're really sincere in heart and God knows their heart. And here they're purged during this time. I am so glad he said that, brother and sister. Because it gives a lot of people I know a chance. That if I said you had to be bright or not make it, I'd say, well, there's no way they make it. I mean, just from my own perspective, God could do anything he wants. But I see them, I think they're just good people. And maybe they're going to make it. And I pray for them all the time, I promise you. Can you ever pray for someone not to be saved? How would you do that? Even Obama. Just see if you're awake. Second, all right? He said, you notice that purging another time. That was for Israel when she gathers. That's the second fold. God purges Israel in the tribulation period. Out of the millions that'll gather there, there'll be a selected 144,000 and they will be purged. God's purging Israel. So now you had the bride, the foolish virgin being purged. Purged, Israel being purged, right? Two folds. The third, he said, notice there's a whole earth to be purged. There will be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged. You see that? You see what it is? And then he says, the earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium's coming up, and see, everything's got any filth in it has to be purged during the sixth seal. That's the purpose. God's not purging the foolish virgin just to purge them because they had sin of unbelief. He's not purging the earth just to say, I'm sick of all this pollution, I need to get out of here. He's not purging Israel just because they rejected Christ or whatever. He's purging it all. He's binding it all together because it's time for the millennium. He needs to get rid of all the filth so that you and I can come back and walk out on this earth in a purged earth. And he's got to take care. Now, the foolish virgins aren't going to be there. They're not going to be there. But they had to be purged now because this is the purging time. Because when else was he going to purge them? It's got to happen now. Well, when it happens. All right? And so, again, you got to find the purpose behind everything. And he says that was the purpose, the threefold purpose of the sixth seal. Done. I told you it's short. And then he says, now do you notice on the opening of the seventh seal, it's also in a threefold mystery, a threefold purpose, the opening of the seventh seal. All right? And that's where we're going next time. Now allow me to read something else. This one I will speak and have spoke that it is the mystery of the seven thunders. He's talking about the mystery of the seventh seal. It's the mystery of the seven thunders. Remember he said the threes and the sevens? The seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery of the seventh seal. It will be right at the coming of Christ because Christ said no one knew when he would return. Do you notice when the Jews asked him that? You know when he compared the scripture here, I'm sorry. You know, when we compare the scripture here with Matthew 24 with the six seals, the seventh seal wasn't even written. You see, they hushed. Nothing takes place then. Angels don't know it. Nobody knows when he's coming. But there will be seven voices of these thunders that will reveal the great revelation at that time. And so that's why, brothers, people say, well, what is the seals? What are the seven seals? It's Christ. Because it's the coming of Christ. All right? And right away, people's minds jump from there off to, okay, well, I'm going to see him coming in a cloud. Or this is when the rapture is. Or whatever these things. And that's where we go. But brother, sister, we're going to find out there's a threefold purpose to this. And he says, no one knows it. And that will, the voice of these sun thunders, the seven thunders, will reveal the great revelation at that time. So I believe to us, he said, if we don't know it, and it won't be known till that time, but it will be revealed in that day, in the hour that it's supposed to be revealed in. So the thing for us to do is be reverent before God and serve him and do all we know how to do and live good Christian lives. And go out and build some camps and try to figure it out on our own. Come up with some doctrine that would say, if you don't believe it this way, you're not going to make it. If you don't come to our church, you're not going to make it. We have gone beyond the prophet. Now we have so much more revelation. We don't need him anymore. Then he says, here now we find that the sixth seal has been opened to us. We see it. We know that the seventh seal cannot be broke to the public until that hour arrives, which is why some people say, seventh seal's not open. Brother Branham says it right there. But it will be. Now I'm talking from 1963 perspective. He said it will be. All right? This is 50-some years later, right? The opening of the seventh seal is also in a threefold mystery. Lord willing, we're going to look at what that threefold mystery is in the next couple services. Let's stand. Hope you don't feel cheated because we didn't go very long tonight. This is what I have on my heart. Is I don't know the next place to go from here. And it looks like he's going to take it a little at a time, like tonight. I don't know. And so I'm just excited to see where it goes. Because I see the big picture, but how he's going to bring it to preach it, I have no clue. We might be done by next Thursday. It might be June. We'll just wait and see. Amen? Threefold purpose. There's a threefold purpose for all of us. God does things in threes. He's perfected in threes. Keep that in mind as we go forward. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that you would come and speak to us tonight. Lord, just a short service, and you put that on my heart, that would probably be that. And so, Lord, I just pray that no one feels cheated or slighted, or that they say, well, it wasn't really worth it. We didn't hardly hear anything tonight. But, Lord Jesus, this is what you gave me, so this is all I have to give to the people, Lord. So we just pray that you go with us now. Just help us, Lord, to be focused on you, Lord, to be in prayer, Lord, and bring us together Sunday morning just in the right atmosphere and attitude, Lord, in prayer and just seeking and expecting, Lord Jesus. We had such a wonderful service last Sunday, Lord. And Father, I just still this morning when I got up, you were just there reminding me of things, and it was so wonderful, Lord. So just looking forward to what you would have for us, Lord, the coming weeks. And Lord, there's just no words for it to describe, to express, Lord Jesus, the thirst and the yearning and the hunger for more of you in our hearts, Lord Jesus. So we know that if that's the hunger is there, then Father, there's got to be something to satisfy. So we go from here now tonight, Lord Jesus, just praising you for what you are doing in our lives. We ask you to be with us, Lord. Watch over us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I lay my burden down. I like this. Glory, glory. Since I lay my burden down.
Valley.